Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5, John Ballmer, Cam Smith, and Brian McMeatball.
Who would it now?
I hate you so much. I hate you with the passion of a thousand, intensity of a thousand suns. You will forever be known as a terrorist on this show.
It's cloudy with a chance of B-Max.
Yes.
I hate Cam Smith to the list of people I hate. Nickname not Meatball. People call me Jason Statham of Houston Sports Radio. That's what people call me.
Nobody's saying that.
I've heard people say that.
Who? You got 5 seconds.
Prove me wrong.
Name the people.
Ryan, Dave Parker.
Dave Parker called me that. Yeah.
Sure.
Dave Parker.
Who?
You just made some random name up.
Prove it. You got 5 seconds, Cam, or John.
ChatGPT, who's Dave Parker?
He's actually a former Pirates baseball player.
Wow. Well, wow.
I don't know. I pull out of
Well, at least it was a real person.
Yeah, real person. Well, I could say almost any name, and I'd be just statistically, it'd be a real person somewhere.
John Smith said it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't want to say John Smith. All right, so 1 hour to go. Mount Rushmore plus one coming up at 1:30. And what we love from sports, the worst people in sports, will finish the show in the 1:45 segment. But let's talk about this proposed 24-game playoff now. If you haven't seen it, it won't affect this college football playoff. Like, nothing will change there. They didn't make a decision in time. They have to sometime later in the year to make a decision for 2027. But this started as an idea from the Big Ten, the expansion from 12 to 24. And is now, the news was that it's now also been backed by the ACC and the Big 12.
Yep.
The SEC and ESPN, notably, both still against it. Are you for or against this expansion, Cam?
I'm very against. Very against. I get that there's more money, there's more revenue, there's more publicity, but I feel like at this point you're watering down the level of competition, because if you're talking the top 24 teams, yeah, obviously top 24 teams, there's some good teams in there, but you might be getting, you know, a team that is 8-4 in a mid-level conference. Like, do we really I think that's the whole reason, like, why people were frustrated with all the random college bowl games, because it's like, do we really care to see a 7-6 Toledo versus Miami, Ohio?
No, I
mean, good for them, but like, I'm not that's not what I want to watch.
I think some of the reaction, including, not to pick on you here, but the thought of a 7-6 team getting in is overdone.
No. I don't think a 7-6 team is going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, as far as like competition, like, that's why bowl games, people don't watch them, because they don't care
right.
for 7-6 versus 6-6.
So you look at the last four teams, because people have obviously put this out now that we have this proposal. But you're looking at seeds 24, 23, 22, and 21. Those teams last year would have been North Texas at 24. Let's see here. 23 was Iowa State, 22 Georgia Tech, and 21 would have been your Houston Cougars. So those have been the last four teams. And you look beyond that, we're talking about Virginia getting in, USC. Let's see. Texas would have been in. Obviously, Arizona, Utah, Notre Dame, Michigan, Vanderbilt, and BYU wasn't it, in BYU. So those are the teams you're letting in. I think there's definitely room there for a 16-team playoff, where I'm still like, so those, if you capped it at 16, adding teams 13 through 16, you're adding Texas, you're adding Vanderbilt, you're adding Utah, and you're adding USC. And then just on the outside, let's see, who was 17? Virginia. So that's kind of the line for me, because once you get to teams like 17 through 24, it's getting to kind of your point, like Cam, like I get the argument that people have made, including on this station, like, well, you don't want more playoff football? Are you not excited about playoff football? It's like, yeah, okay. But were you excited about James Madison, Oregon? Were you excited about Ole Miss, Tulane? Like, sure, no. I'm going to watch it because it's a college football playoff game. I'm going to watch it. I like college football. I want to see more college football. But I don't need these extra teams that we all know have zero chance of winning a title that can't give us a competitive game against some of the better teams in the nation. I don't need that added on.
Yeah, like, why would I want to see North Texas face off against? I mean, I don't.
So, based upon last year's rankings, North Texas has been Team 24 playing against Alabama.
Yeah.
Why do I need to see that?
I don't. And right. And that goes to the whole point of, like, the initial scheduling of top teams scheduling cupcake games. Like, North Texas would be considered a, like, yeah, they went 12-2 last year, but before that, they would be considered a cupcake team to put on a schedule. So, like, why would I want to see that in the playoffs? I wouldn't.
Want to see Miami, who went to the national title game against the Cougs? Now, putting your Cougs bias aside, like,
yeah, I mean, I would love to see my Cougs in the playoffs, but if they were in the playoffs,
that would have been a matchup
last
year.
They would have been smoked.
They would have been smoked. Yeah. Iowa State having to play Notre Dame, they get absolutely crushed. Like, it's just, I think we all know. And look, down this is going to change each year, and we've seen this even in the couple years now of the expansion, where some years you look at, like, 2 years ago, like, man, like South Carolina and Alabama, and I'm trying to remember who the other team was. There, Ole Miss. It was Ole Miss. There was three teams after that top 12. Like, they look legit. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing them in the playoffs. And I think you could say the same thing this year with a few teams like Vandy and Texas who just missed it, Notre Dame as well. Okay, they look legit. But we all know there's a line there, right? Like,
yeah.
You're going to cross a threshold at some point where it goes from, like, I don't think they'll win a title, but there's enough raw talent there to where they could make a run if they get hot. But you're going to cross the threshold from the Vandy, Texas, Notre Dame to you get to the Iowa State to the North Texas, right? Like, we all know there's a line there. And to me, although that line can move, some years there may only be 14 teams you like. Some years there may be 18. But I think we all know there's not 24.
No, and I wonder if this is, like, picking up steam because what we've seen Indiana do the last 2 years.
I would think that'd be a misguided argument because, okay, yeah, Indiana came out of nowhere, but they were the number one team in the nation going to the playoffs last year.
Oh, no, I know.
So
but
it's not like they just squeaked in.
Like, if you expand it, are you, like, expanding it because you're hoping that you're giving the possibility that there's another dark horse coming out of, like,
Indiana
nowhere?
Indiana wasn't a dark horse at that point. They're the number one team in the nation. That's my point. Like, you would have more argument, not that you're making that argument, but that argument would have more steam if we'd seen the team. Now, I guess you could say Miami. Miami was the last team into the playoff last year, and they went to the national title game, but they weren't a dark horse. But if you'd seen Tulane or James Madison or who was it the year before? I don't remember off the top of my head. Or Clemson was a 12 seed the year before. But if you'd seen one of these teams, like, actually make a run that you would consider, like, a dark horse. Like, Miami, I know, was, like, the 11 seed, but, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, they had, what, how many picks from the first couple rounds of the draft? They weren't really a dark horse. So, yeah, I get the idea of more college football is good. I get the idea, but I think that is kind of, there's all, like the saying goes, like, there's too much of a good thing is a bad thing, right? Yep. Like, you're going to water it down at some point. You're going to give us games like what would be on this playoff if it was last year, Alabama, North Texas. You're going to give us games like Alabama, North Texas that no one's going to actually care about. Like, right? Like, we'd be making fun of that game before it happens. Like just like we did with James Madison having to go to Oregon, just like we did with Tulane going to Ole Miss. And we're already doing that in a 12-team playoff. And on top of that, not that we're there yet, and I think guys like Mike Greenberg went way too far with this criticism, saying people in the Ohio State Michigan game would rest players because they already had their playoff spot locked up. I think that is utter nonsense and probably a directive from ESPN telling him to say that, since we know ESPN's against this. But I do think the further and further you add, the more and more teams are in this, you start to lose some of that one game winner-take-all specialness that college football has had forever, because before it was, well, we can't afford any losses, right? One loss and we're done. Well, we got one loss. Well, now we can afford two. Now we're at the point where, well, we could probably afford three losses. Although, look at Texas. They couldn't afford that third loss.
Yeah.
But now you're going to get to the point where maybe we can afford a fourth loss if we get to the 20. Like, if we get to 24, like, 8-4 teams are going to get in. And at that point, you get to a point where the regular season, while not ruined, I think people who say this have gone way too far with their criticism, but it does lose some of its specialness if a team that already has two losses of the season still knows they have more losses to play with.
Yeah. I think there might be like an odd kind of bright spot coming out of this. I think that if they were to expand it, I think you might see a little more equal recruiting spread out, if that makes sense. You might have players that, you know, at the time were like, okay, I'm going to go to these top schools because there's a good chance I can make the playoffs. Now, if they expand it to 24, you might see some of these other schools who aren't always in top 10 in rankings get some top-tier players because there's a possibility that they can make the playoffs. Now, that's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah. I
but like that, that's like the only good thing that I can think
I see the basis of where you're going with. Yeah. I still think they're going to go wherever the most dollars are, and the most dollars are at the bigger schools. They're at the Texas and the Michigan, the Ohio States, and all those schools. So I that maybe that happens a little bit, but I don't think that's going to be a widespread, like, super thing. But anyway, all right, let's go ahead and move on here. We will get out on the other side of the break. Cam has a streaming debate question for us. Plus, we'll turn the reins over to John Belmer for his segment as well. That one, The Bullpen Returns, ESPN Radio 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's The Bullpen.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Here's John Belmer, Cam Smith, and Brian McDonald.
All right, welcome back into The Bullpen. Three segments to go here until 2 o'clock. We'll be back next weekend, I think. I haven't looked at the schedule. I don't know. We'll see. We're not. Maybe you should turn on your microphone, Cam. That will help.
I do apologize.
That's
my
fault.
We will not be back next week as I am running the Astros game at 12:30.
Oh, we have another Astros game. There you go. All right, breaking news. No bullpen next week. So I guess that no, Johnny doesn't get. Well, you get to leave earlier. So that's a plus for Johnny. I get to stay home.
I mean,
really, Cam's the only one that suffers. He has to be here still.
Yeah, I get to watch.
That TV and the. I guess you can watch it on the your laptop or something.
I'm good. Maybe I'll watch Criminal Minds or something.
God, you're so old.
Just kidding.
All right. Speaking of ways to watch TV shows for old people, you have a streaming debate for
I do.
Us? All right, hit us up before we get into Johnny's segment here.
So I guess my question is, when it comes to sharing, because obviously there's so many streaming sites out there now.
A thousand
of them. And it's almost like you have to have at least 4 or 5 to watch everything.
They've tricked us. We all cut cable, and now we're spending more than we did with cable.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have like 6 streaming subscriptions.
At least, yeah.
But, so I guess my question is sharing your streams with a person of the opposite sex, is that some form of, I don't know, not cheating or...
I see what you're getting at.
Okay, I don't at all.
Because there's different levels. Okay, so, like, for example, like, on my Peacock account, I gave, like, my info to my homegirl, like, a year and a half ago, so that she could watch.
Just a friend, not dating?
I mean, we would hang out and stuff, but like it never turned into like dating. It never turned into dating.
I didn't take that from what you said by and stuff.
But like,
I took it as you Netflix and chilled.
No. So like she's.
Brian was right.
She's still my friend. So like I don't care that she's still on my subscription, but one night I was figuring out what to watch and stuff, and we picked Peacock when I was with a girl at the time.
Oh, and she could see
and she
that.
She saw her profile.
The profile.
Yeah, and she kind of felt some type of way. Now, granted, me and this girl are not dating. So that's what I'm saying. Like, there's
but you're
different...
hanging out at one of your places watching TV.
Watching TV.
That's...
So like, there's different levels. Like you're hanging out, then there's like dating, then you're
you know
like.
What I take from this and the like conversation we had a few weeks ago with Cam, his definition of dating is far different than my definition of dating is.
Yeah.
No, like
his definition of dating is very open to interpretation.
Maybe, but
no, I don't think it's maybe.
No, Cam, like there's like we hang out all the time, just her and I. We're fooling around and all this stuff. Like but we're not dating right now. Okay.
Well, because there's like...
All right. That's what I would call dating, but whatever.
Well, because I think
I'm not even judging. I'm just trying to figure out where these are so I know how to perceive the actions of follow.
I think it's like what you want out of it. Like if you're just friends and you're just hanging out and there's no like thought of, is this going to go to the next level or are we going to take it to the next level? That's just hanging out.
It's still dating. It's just casually dating.
Yeah.
Maybe for me, dating is like okay. You're focused.
Okay, we're gonna completely sidetrack. Cam, are you afraid of commitment?
Maybe.
That was a yes, Johnny. For the record, that was a 100% screaming yes.
But like dating for me is like okay, you might be going out with different people, but your primary focus is like one person. Like you kind of you're getting into that area where you're focusing on one person and you're thinking about okay, are we gonna take this to like. The full commitment, like boyfriend.
What is your longest or exclusive relationship?
Like longest official relationship?
Yeah, exclusive. Like you're only dating her.
1 year.
Yeah, I actually would have thought the under in that. I was going to guess 6 months.
1 year.
1 year?
Well, okay. My friends used to make fun of me and call me 3 month Cam.
See? Okay. All right.
You nailed it, B-Mac.
Yeah. All right. No, now we can get into the question because I just like I had Cam figured out as anyway, go ahead.
Oh boy!
So the girl I almost feel like I need to speak a second language to interpret what Cam's saying here. So the girl you're not dating, but that most people would consider you dating, saw that another girl's profile was on your Peacock.
No, this is not even somebody that I think people would consider us dating. We've maybe hung out like 3 times. Like there's no thoughts like in my head of this is going to.
I think
next
her reaction says the thoughts on her head.
But true. But I mean, there are some just like. I mean, girls and guys out there that just react like differently. So I guess my question is like, to what point is like a crash out or getting upset level like appropriate when it comes to like sharing streaming like services? Like
if you guys were, I'll just be honest, and I'm not even saying this as judgment. I do think it's a little weird that you're sharing a Peacock account with a girl you're not dating. I think that's a little weird for me. Now, if you guys are in no way at all dating, she shouldn't really have a reaction to other than like, that's a little weird, kind of like I said. But if you guys are dating, then you got to cut the other girl off.
Okay, so that was basically...
You got to delete her from the account.
That's
sure,
yeah,
100%.
And honestly, I would. Like, I would be comfortable with like, hey, sorry.
Like if it becomes official, I know you and I interpretations of that are wildly different. But if it does become official, you got to cut the other girl off.
Okay, yeah.
It depends on how like visceral her reaction was. Because I'll be honest with you,
You said she felt some type of way. Like how? What?
Yeah.
Like go further. What was her reaction to seeing that girl was on your account?
Can I say this?
Was she mad?
I think she was a little annoyed, and I think her first reaction.
She thinks you're dating. Cam.
Her first reaction was like, "Who is this B word in Spanish?"
Yeah. See, so
she thinks you're dating.
So
Cam.
That changes. Yeah, no, so then in this case, like, I would for one, that's a huge red flag. I would.
Again, why I'm not pursuing this girl, which I'm okay with just being friends with this girl.
So yeah, and if you're just friends now, you said you're still friends with the other girl, and if you gave her your Peacock to use or whatever, you just never took it back. That's one thing that you're not necessarily sharing it. She just hadn't logged out. It may be a little weird, but
mostly because I like
if Cam has a girl that has an issue with it in the future, all he has to do is log out, change the password, log back in, and problem solved. Right?
Because then they won't be able to get back in. Yeah, I think you owe that person a text, like, "Hey, I got to cut you off here."
Oh yeah, and like I wouldn't hold back on that, like, because obviously if I'm into somebody and I'm trying to date them, I'm not gonna lose that because I don't want to end a sharing streaming.
All right, so how many former friends, I use in air quotes, beyond Peacock, all streaming services you have? How many friends that are women do you have access to your various accounts?
Two.
Just two?
Yeah.
Okay, just two.
HBO and Peacock.
Same girl?
Nope.
Different girls. Okay. Okay.
You know how you get streams, like, or you know how you pay for subscriptions and you forget about them?
Yeah.
That number's probably 5 or 6.
Yeah. I don't
and it's just, you know, forgotten.
Well, whatever his least used stream services was probably on that one as well.
For sure.
It's just two.
Okay. Were you dating? The first girl you said you weren't dating when you gave her access?
No.
What about the other girl on HBO?
No, just hanging out a lot and having fun.
Oh, God. I really wish we had a woman on the show right now, just so I don't feel like I'm insane in my interpretation.
No, I'm pretty sure that 90% of women would be like, no, once we start, like, dating, you gotta cut that
yeah.
chain, which I understand.
No, I mean just so we can nitpick your definition of dating further. Oh. I think that's what I'm more... fascinated by.
I'm more open to like sharing my streaming services.
Like I share a couple with my parents just because like I don't want to have to walk them through how to make their own.
Yeah.
So just like here, I'll log on to mine. The only problem with that, I don't know. Now she has her own profile, so maybe this isn't an issue.
Yeah.
But the only problem I have with that is like especially with my dad, more so than my mom. He'll sometimes log on to my profiling account and like. Why does it think I watch Rifleman?
Oh,
it's
no.
just like, come on, man, you're ruining my algorithm.
No, that's definitely happened like multiple times. I've like gone on there and I'm like, why is Real Housewives of Atlantic City like on my continue to watch? Like,
yeah.
Definitely did it. But I think what I was saying is like, I think I'm more open to sharing my streaming services with girls because
I'm not.
I also like share like some with like my boys. Like me and Gio, he pays for Netflix, but I'm on his account. And like my boy Ben pays for Paramount, and I'm on his account. So it's like if I'm also like
this
sharing,
is such a bizarre world to me.
It's, I mean, I feel like
I'm not blaming that part. Like, hey, we're just gonna pool our money. You pay for that one, I pay for the other one. I guess that's I don't know. I feel like at certain points, like I just want mine. It's like I don't want to share with anybody. I don't know, Johnny. Is anybody on your streaming accounts besides people that live in the house?
My mom, I think, is on a couple. But
I have my parents on a couple.
I mean, if you watch embarrassing stuff, you probably don't want your friends to be able to like click in your profile and see what you're watching.
I just don't want people on. I don't know. Maybe that's a difference in our privacy. Like, I could see the move of like, hey, you're trying to, you're in the early stages with dating a girl. Like, you're wanting to, you know, get her to like you more. Like, hey, you know, here's my password if you want that or whatever. But if you're not even like pursuing it, like I don't see what the point is.
Oh, yeah.
Was that it? Is that why you shared it? Like, hey, like me more?
No. Because by this point, we were already, both of us were already like cool and close. And like, regardless if I took them off, we would still be friends. It was just more just kind of like in the moment, it's just like, oh, hey, I really want to like watch these two shows, but they're only on Peacock, and I don't want to buy a subscription for Peacock if I'm only going to use it for one or two shows. So then I'm like, okay, well, I watch Peacock a lot. I'm never going to get rid of it.
Because you watch all the old people shows.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, sure, why not? Why would I, like, yeah, I can be cool with you using
all right.
it.
All right. I don't feel like we're going to get any further to the bottom of this, but I think I side with...
Like my therapist said, I'm an onion. There's a lot of random layers.
That is one way to describe it.
Thank
yes,
you.
I think I side with your girl. Well, like, girl, whatever you're defining the relationship as. Like, I guess if you're truly like only friends. Although I would say if you're hanging out alone, watching TV together, you're probably more than friends. But I would probably side with her on that. But if you're not official, then I think it's a little. It's a little odd to me, but it's not like something that she should be that concerned about.
I could agree that okay, it might be weird for you to see that, but to like get an attitude.
Like she got legit pretty mad about it.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say mad, but I could tell that she was visibly.
Well, you said
like,
she dropped like an F bomb or something.
Well,
said who's this B word on
in Spanish? Yeah, I mean, well, it's one Latina seeing that there's another Latina sharing my streaming.
Is she realizing like, oh, Cam has a type? I think everyone knows that at this point. But
yeah.
All right, Johnny, we'll go over a little bit here. So hit us with, because I think this ties into a little bit what we're talking about with Cam and his dating life wrapped into his streaming app.
Yeah.
But the Louisville Lookouts had an interesting theme night. Tell us about it.
Is that what their name was?
Was the Louisville minor
the
league?
The Louisville Bats, I think.
Oh,
is
Bats.
What it is.
Okay. Well, there's multiple.
The transition here is from Cam's loud semi dating life to
not even know what to call it. Like, according to Cam, he's never dated anybody.
That's true, but it is very loud. There's a lot going on.
He's hung out and had sex with people, but he's never dated anybody.
Hey,
what? I can't say the word sex. Come on, settle down. Stop clutching your pearls. Anyway, continue.
We'll talk about this real quick, though.
That's the boldest lie you've ever told.
What did he say?
He said he's saving himself for marriage. Cam's not going to get married. He's afraid of commitment. We've already figured that out.
I'll get there.
We'll see. I've got the under. John?
Yeah, I've got the under as
well. Damn. Great. Now I get to go see my family and see my niece for the first time, and I'm going to hear, like, Cameron, when are you going to get there?
Yeah.
When are you going to get this another grandkid?
Do this to yourself. All right, we got. Go on, Johnny. Hit us.
Yeah, real quick, because we're over. From loud Cam's dating life to, I thought this was very interesting. A nothing night at this park. No music, no video promotions, no videos, no nothing. Just baseball. The sounds of baseball, bats cracking, you know, balls being thrown, guys high fiving each other, home runs, celebrations. No distractions, no nothing. It says
Did it say if there's still a PA announcer? Because I know there's like no videos on screen.
Nothing.
There's no music playing. Nothing. There's no ads anywhere. But there's not even like a PA nothing. Announcer.
Okay. Not anything.
So it's basically baseball as it would be. In- yeah. 1900. Well, they had commercials then on the board.
They still had like the signs hanging up.
Yeah,
and stuff,
so even more stripped down than it would have been like in the 1900. But
they still had announcers back then.
Right, they would have still had a PA announcer. They still would have had like advertising on the walls and stuff. So this is even more stripped down.
This is nothing. Literally,
I could get down with nothing outside
almost,
of like
I'm almost there
outside of the PA because like it's kind of.
Right, I need the PA.
It's like going to like Little League games. Like that's what it would remind me of. Like there's no social media, there's no videos. It's just the game.
But if you're
and
at
then
a minor,
the announcer.
You're at a minor league game. You don't need to know who's up to bat. You don't need to know what's going
but
on.
It's still
just
the nostalgia.
Enjoy the baseball.
Like I still the nostalgia of having like that announcer behind you.
It also just feels like, I guess it is amateur in a way, but it just feels amateur with there being nothing.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's a weird take or not, but like. No ads playing, no advertisements on the walls. That sounds great. I'd even be okay with like no walk up music, no music between innings. I'd be fine with that. But just like no PA, like I don't know.
That kind of sounds like the dual practices that they do in the NFL. Like where two teams will come together in a city and they'll have like one
like
joint practice,
it
like
feels
a scrimmage.
Like a, yeah, it feels like
yeah,
a scrimmage.
It feels like a scrimmage game.
Yeah, I think this is good an idea. I think. Most people would be bored by the time they got to the third inning.
Like, I mean, you're watching the
even
game.
Even if it was an Astros game, can you imagine going to the Astros game where there's literally no sound other than what happens on the field?
Yeah, that'd
That's
be
weird.
It'd be a lot
right?
of drunk people doing some wild
it
stuff.
It feels like I'm on this, like I'm watching a game in the apocalypse where like
but
everyone's
this is, but I don't think this would apply to Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA. Like this is, I'm talking. This is minor league. This is little league. This is
Here's a good comparison. Although it was only one aspect of this, you still had everything else. Remember how empty games felt during COVID?
COVID, yeah.
Like, because that first season back in the NFL, they didn't have fans. That 60-game season that baseball played in 2020, no fans in the stands. Remember how empty that felt?
It did, but we're still watching it on TV, so we're still seeing videos, highlights,
right.
announcers.
I think this would feel even more empty than that.
Oh,
now, at least you have other fans around you that are creating noise and whatnot. There's chatter. There's someone to talk with. But being that stripped down, while it sounds like a cool idea, kind of, a no devices day, put down the phone, watch the game, whatever. I'm fine with that point. But it just feels like this would feel just empty, in my opinion.
Yeah. And at the same time, like...
So I'm, anyway,
maybe you're not worried about who's...
way of saying I'm out.
Yeah, maybe you're not worried about who's playing because it's a minor league game. But, like, if I'm going to a game and I'm watching people compete at a high level, I want to see, like, who they are, what they're about, where they're from.
Maybe,
like,
a graphic on the screen with their average
graphic.
Or something.
Yeah, like, I guess I don't need the noise, but, like, I need to see something that reflects, like, the team.
I want a graphic with stats, and I want the PA announcer.
Yeah, even if it's
I think
just
I could
one.
Deal with missing the rest. All right, that'll do it. Next segment when we get back here is time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history,
Singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. Welcome into Mount Rushmore Plus One, the game-changing, award-winning segment that's forever changed the landscape of sports radio in Houston, in Texas, in America, nay, worldwide. And we'll get Cam, myself, John, Joe George, Sean Mapes, Andrew Carlson, RJ Saunders, Josh Evans, AJ Russ, and countless others into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame in far less than it took those bums John Lansky their 27 years. As if 27 years. 13 or less for the us group. We probably need a clock at some point, like a countdown to where this becomes ill-formed. Oh, we won't be, who are we kidding? We're not going to be doing this show for 27 years. This take will always be fine.
Hey, no, you never know.
No one can hold us accountable for it, so we're fine. All right, anyway, Mount Rushmore Plus One. As you guys know, it's been well established. People call me the Jason Statham of Houston
well
Sports.
Well established?
Houston Sports Radio. So in honor of that, the well-established fact that I am the Jason Statham of Houston Sports Radio, I've gone with the best Jason Statham character names from his movies as my Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Nice.
Yeah. I am a Jason Statham movie aficionado. I believe, Cam, you are as well.
Likewise.
John, are you, do you get down with the Statham movie?
I mean, I like him. I'm not disliking him. I just don't know much about his movies.
By the way, Mutiny comes out in August. You got to see that. Jason Statham back in action this August in Mutiny. He's breaking up a trafficking ring on a boat. Big cargo ship.
Sounds about par.
I think the best part of the trailer is like their boat calls in like a we're under attack signal, and like the guard is coming to help. He's like, we don't see any other ships. It says they're under attack, and the guy goes, it's just one man.
Oh.
It's just Statham. Anyway, Jason Statham movies are incredible. And this is my Mount Rushmore Plus One of the best Jason Statham character names. I kind of have a tie here. So I'm a little bit cheating. It's more of a Mount Rushmore Plus Two, but forgive me. Mm. He had a movie called Wild Card where his name was, I'll give you one guess. What was his last name? In the movie Wild Card, what was his last name? Wild. It was right there for you.
His
last name was Wild. His name was Nick Wild.
Wow, that's wild.
They kind of mailed it in. His first major movie, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, the Guy Ritchie movie.
Good movie.
Yeah, you remember his character name from it?
No.
Bacon.
Bacon?
He went by Bacon. That was his name. In the Fast and Furious franchise, I like this name. His name is Declan Shaw. Declan Shaw is a pretty cool name.
I didn't know he was in Fast and Furious.
Yeah, he's been in, I think,
like two or three of them.
Yeah, I think it's three. I think he came into the franchise with seven, and he's been in since then.
That name fits him,
Declan
in
Shaw,
in that movie.
Yeah,
too.
It just feels like a cool name. It's not like funny necessarily. It's just kind of cool.
Yeah.
These next few are funny to me. Remember what his character name is in The Expendables? Lee Christmas. Sure, why not?
He's the least Christmassy look of any person.
Jason Statham should totally do a Christmas movie. I would watch that. He protects Santa. Come on, man. He's an elf who protects Santa.
Sounds like
he's
a movie.
Former military. Now he has to infiltrate the North Pole and take down those trying to attack Santa. I just wrote this movie in 10 seconds. Let's make it happen. Next up, there's a movie he did called The Bank Job. His character was named Terry Leather.
Come on,
Terry Leather. Why not? Yeah, his name's Leather. If you're keeping track, he's had the last name Leather. He's had the last name Christmas. He's been known as Bacon. And in the movie, Wild Card, he was known as Nick Wild. They don't necessarily spend a lot of time on his character names in these movies. Maybe more time on choreographing the fight scenes. I'm just guessing. Last one, one of his movies that got a sequel. It was Crank. Did you ever see Crank?
I thought you were going Meg.
No.
Crank? Yeah.
So his character name, this is also not necessarily a super funny name, although I just kind of find it funny. But his name in the Crank series was Chev Chelios.
Yep.
Yeah, C-H-E-V, Chev Chelios. Just like how do you, it feels like a...
Sounds like a basketball player that came over here from Europe.
That or just like something like, hey, AI, give me a movie character name, Chev Chelios. Like,
yeah.
Okay, where'd you pull that from? Anyway, that's my Mount Rushmore plus one of the best Jason Statham character names.
It is interesting how when they cast these movies, what thought process goes through picking
for the name?
Name character.
I think
character
in names. Some cases, very little.
Yeah, clearly.
Very, very little.
Clearly.
All right, Cam, what is your Mount Rushmore plus one?
So mine is in honor of BMAC.
Oh, I'm frightened.
Oh.
Well, you maybe from the listeners, you should be. So
When
I walked in, I discovered that BMAC had never seen the historically great movie Remember the Titans.
Historically great is such an oversell.
Oh, it's not.
I've never seen
it. It's not an oversell.
Exactly. You have to see it.
No, it's
to speak it.
It's sappy nonsense.
That right there leads me to my second point. Then it furthered on when BMAC said, I don't like sappy or inspirational sport movies.
No, it's like they bore the hell out of me.
So, in honor of both of those things.
I'm dead and jaded inside. I don't need inspirational movies.
Clearly. I came up with the best team sport movies with inspiration behind them.
Ugh, okay.
God, you're welcome.
It's going to sound like a bunch of boring ass movies. Continue.
How dare you? Some of these are true stories, so you can't talk trash.
It's going to be the first Mount Rushmore plus one where someone falls asleep during the segment. Continue.
Because he has no heart. Icebox where it used to be. We Are Marshall.
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
Great movie based on a true story.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I'm very much like a true story type of person.
McConaughey was good, but whatever.
All right. Radio.
I never bothered seeing that.
Radio was great, too.
Radio was a great movie.
I have more of like a little connection to that from my experience working with like kids with special needs. So that one was a little bit of a...
Sure.
Yeah. Friday Night Lights. I know it's not...
Which one?
The
was
movie.
It, was, okay.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
Yeah.
More so just the fact of, like, you know, small town, all you have is, like, football. After that, it's basically, like, nothing. So, like...
Drinking during the day because you're unemployed?
Yeah, basically. So, but another good, like, team movie. Glory Road.
Was that the one about Texas Western?
Texas Western.
I never saw that one.
Based on a true story, really good movie. I don't know if people know, but, yeah, I mean, that was kind of, like... I think that was... Pretty much like
it was the first school with an all-black roster that won the national title.
That went on to win a national title game. And that was back when it was like Kentucky was like running everything. So, and then, of course, the GOAT, Denzel Washington. Remember the Titans.
GOAT?
God. Denzel is...
Some people's movie tastes are so basic. It's inspirational, sappy.
Because you don't agree with them?
Yeah, so they're basic. Okay.
I'm surprised Coach Carter didn't make the list.
I like Coach Carter, but I can only pick five.
Yeah.
So
I feel like I'm talking although about movie
I
think, choices.
Although I do believe Coach Carter is loosely based on a true story, too. So.
All right. Make me feel better, John. When's your Mount Rushmore plus one?
Yeah, I'll try to be quick
here. Don't bore me.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's subjective. But
yeah,
anyways.
It is.
I found out something interesting this week in the wake of Meg Thee Stallion and Klay Thompson's breakup.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Back on the market, boys.
Yeah.
Cam, John, you guys going to take your swing?
Is she on Hinge?
She doesn't like you sharing other streaming services.
Okay,
so
you're out.
That's fine. I'll cut them all off.
Right.
I'll cut them all off.
Sorry to throw a pencil at you there. Lost track.
I found out, though, that I don't know what Meg Thee Stallion's followers are called. Beyonce
like
has
to be called Stallions, wouldn't they?
Maybe
it's right there. Right?
The Stallions figured out that I guess I didn't know this, but I guess on Etsy you can they have witches on there where you can purchase curses against people, and so apparently
they all Dan
Hales? Hold on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, apparently there's been a run on like Stallions.
So people are buying voodoo dolls.
They're basically and like cursing Klay Thompson. Right.
I kind of have news for them. It's kind of already a little late for that. Like
a little bit, yeah.
Basically over anyway.
So that inspired my Mount Rushmore plus one of people or athletes that I would go on Etsy and order.
Oh,
a curse.
You would
for
curse.
That,
you would curse these people
for these people. Yeah.
All right. All right.
And it's people I like, dislike, or just good players in general, or maybe not players. Because number five is C.B. Buckner. I would put a curse on him.
Yeah.
And I also
I feel like he already curses himself.
He does. I also put it into AI here to come up with like some different curses and stuff. This is just the ones that they came up with. For C.B. Buckner, it was the signal mix-up curse. Where it makes his out and safe call permanently switch in his head.
I feel like we wouldn't see any difference from his normal.
It wouldn't be any difference.
Yeah.
Number four was Josh Allen. I would go on Etsy and buy a curse for him. Yeah, just
the
because
Texans
he's good.
Kick his ass anyway.
He's a great quarterback.
But the Texans kill him every time.
He just annoys me.
Yeah, when did you do it to Lamar?
Didn't they sack him like eight times the last
game?
They
did, but he's just annoying me.
The Texans don't
it's
need
my
your
list,
help there.
B-Mac,
all right, you're right. That's on me, John. My fault. I'm sorry.
The curse for Josh Allen is that the speaker in his headset stops working, but only on third down plays throughout the game.
That'd be unfortunate for him.
It would be. Number three, I put Jake Paul. I would like to.
Yeah,
put
okay,
a curse
I'm
on
with
him.
You there. Yeah. Although apparently his boxing career is over.
It's over.
From
yeah.
Anthony Joshua
unfortunately.
Breaking his jaw.
Tie it.
Unfortunately, or fortunately.
Fortunately.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I didn't want to see him fight again. But
I don't want to wish upon a man's ability to make money.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
oh, he'll still make
I,
money.
Yeah, I don't want to see Jake Paul fight again.
But I would like to see his jaw get broke again. And the curse here was that the cut man, like without realizing it, switches the Vaseline with Bengay. So when he goes out in the next round to like throw punches, he can't see. Number two was Shohei Ohtani. I would put a curse on him just because you can't be good at two things this much. Like it's a little bit, you know,
a little bit of a hater list. John.
A little bit of a hater list. But he's too good at two things. So in this case, the curse I would buy is whenever he gets two strikes on a batter when he's pitching, then anytime he throws a pitch where he already has two strikes, he sneezes mid-throw every time.
Well, he's so
see,
good. He's so
see,
good that he might throw back a counter curse at you.
Yeah, maybe.
Did you see that he hit into a triple play last night?
No.
Yeah, it's a fun play to watch. Yeah, against the Angels, Zach Neto tripled him up.
And quickly, because we're running out of time. Number one here is not a person. It's an organization, the Texas Rangers.
Oh, fair.
You can curse them with whatever you want. If you want to send in your curses, I'd be happy to hear. The one I chose was the warning track power nap. Any Ranger who goes to try to catch a ball on the warning track just immediately lays down and goes to sleep instead of catching the ball.
Tight.
I like that. Yeah. A lot of inside the park home runs. Yeah. All right. That'll do it for Mount Rushmore Plus One. We got about four-ish minutes, maybe five. No, yeah, like 4 minutes. So we'll get into our worst people in sports and what we love from sports this week. I will skip one of my worst because it's actually Cam's as well. And I will say my worst person in sports this week is a group. It's a collective. It's Pistons fans who are now waterboarding themselves as a measure to try to get Piston wins. And not only are they waterboarding themselves, apparently they're 4-0. On the day of the games after them waterboarding themselves on video, the Pistons are 4-0 this postseason.
Wow.
But look, Rockets, I love you. Astros, I love you. Texans, I love you. I will not waterboard myself as a means to try to bring positive karma and energy into the world that wills you to a win. So maybe that makes me a bad fan. But Pistons fans, you are idiots. What's your worst person, Cam?
My worst person is golfer Garrett Higo, who took a two-stroke penalty because he was 2 seconds late to his tee time because instead of listening to his caddy, he decided to argue with him. And I think it was more his response.
Yeah, I have
I wouldn't be late if I knew I was going to be late.
So there's one quote says, the rule is if you're 1 second late, you're late. I was obviously on time, but late. 1 second is tough to define. What? Like when Joe first told me this story the other day, I was actually on his side. Like, because he was obviously so close to where when he was 1 second late or whatever it was, they can see him. It's not like he's still asleep in his bed at the hotel. Sure, penalize him there. But like, as you're saying, two strokes, which, by the way, was the difference of him making the cut and not. I was like, if you could see him, like he's walking towards you at that time, just like let him go hit the ball. But then his quotes were just so like out of touch and weird that I was like, all right, you know what? I'm reversing. I'm now on the PGA Tour side. But yeah,
I'm pretty sure this dude was high.
Two parts of his quote. if you're late, I was obviously on time but late. That first part, I was obviously on time but late. Like what? And then the following that up with 1 second is tough to define. No, it's very. It's like the. It's literally they give us a. It's a unit of time, a measurement, like an exact measurement. It's not at all tough to define. Anyway, John, your worst person.
Yeah, my worst person is Edward Diaz for being you know what, who fights animals.
It's not
his
great.
Quote of it's the cockpit is like my home. I feel safe here. It is sick, dude.
That is something else. So I'll skip the Ric Flair audio, John. I'll just say it. Ric Flair was talking. Ish about Luka Doncic saying like, "Hey, I took a cortisone shot and wrestled with a broken ankle. Why don't you go play with the hamstring?" So I love that. And then John, I will go ahead and play this audio. The Pirates were playing the Phillies the other day, and the bullpen caught the home run ball. I forget who hit it. You'll hear it in this clip with an unusual object.
Fly ball to center field, hit pretty deep. Crawford back, and hey, if you're gonna be a bear, be a grizzly.
That's a good call, by the way.
Osuna hits one into the
Marcelo
cone.
Oh, that's what it was.
Cone catch.
His fifth 438-foot bomb for the Big Bear. 6-0.
Now, Greg, have we seen a cone catch before?
That's the first.
And that's a bomb. Osuna just giving it a little look.
Johan Ramirez with the cone catch.
Got it.
So if you didn't catch it, they literally caught the ball. One of the relievers standing in the bullpen held up like a big orange traffic cone and caught the home run from Marcelo Zuna in the traffic cone.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So that is what I love from sports this week.
Well, you know what? I didn't really have one, but that made me think of the video that I saw the other day. I can't remember what fan it was, but he caught a ball with look like a hollowed out
the bread
loaf
bowl.
Of bread.
Yeah, I saw that. He caught
that's
it with
more
the
impressive
bread
than the cone.
Yeah. I don't know. Sure. They're both pretty impressive. John?
Mine was Billie Jean King, 82 years old, graduating college in a couple
sappy,
days.
Sappy, inspirational.
Crazy,
nonsense.
Right?
You guys are boring me. This All guy. Right, we're going to end the show. They're boring me with 82-year-olds going back to college.
You got a stone heart.
That'll do it for the bullpen. No show next week because we're carrying the Astros, according to Cam, right? We're carrying the Astros game. So no show next week. We'll be back the week after for Cam Smith, for John Belmer. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. I've been Brian McDonald. See you on Monday with Jeremy and Joe.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save.